the stare of the champion against the challenger. The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
Puts a left hook again. Jackson John Smith. He's on roller skates and he comes back down. Oh! And down goes Smith. What a knockout! Mamma mia!
This is InTheFight.net's In The Fight show on Sportinarium Radio, talking MMA, pro wrestling, and boxing. Follow the show on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at ITF Show. And now from Philadelphia, Doc, Brett, In The Fight.
Oh my God!
It is 5 p.m. on the East Coast, 10 p.m. over in the UK, and we are live on Sportinarium. This is In The Fight. It is I, Brett Halpern, along with none other than the hired gun, Zach Messner, as we bring you the latest in all of combat sports. Freebird rules applied once again. We had to pull in the closer. Hired Gun is here as always, and we thank him for his presence. Always great to see him. As always, you know, we are live on Sportinarium Radio. Check out Sportinarium at Sportinarium on all social media. We are a Sports Talk Philly partner, sportstalkphilly.com. Check us out on social media at ITF Show. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. I don't think we have a MySpace. We have a website, www.inthefight.net. I am broadcasting from New Jersey. The Hired Gun is up in New York, and I know he is wearing a lovely, lovely shirt, and his entire family, as well as my family, as well as the Captain Mike Lipinski's family, we are all decked out in our In The Fight merch. That is right. We have beautiful merch. It is brought to you by TKO Store, which is TEEKOstore.com. Right now, all of our merch is on the front page. If you don't see it on the front page, click on the other shirts tab. It will bring you to the In The Fight page. But definitely support the show, support the cause. And honestly, they're nice shirts. They're comfortable. You can wear them going to sleep or for any other various activities. But, you know, we're slowly taking over the northeast of the United States. Soon we're going to be across the pond in the UK. We appreciate everyone's support. So definitely check out and buy the merch. We are also brought to you by Michael's Glass Company, 215-338-3293, the premier glass company in the Delaware Valley. And lastly, brought to you, if any of you are in the mainline area outside Philadelphia, please check out DePaul's Table, 7 East Lancaster Avenue, Ardmore, PA. It is a modern Italian steakhouse with everything opening up. This is a brand new restaurant in a beautiful facility. I, you know, personally know the owner. I know the chef that they brought over. Amazing food. Trust me, I know my food. I take my food seriously. This is very good food. DePaulsTable.com. So, Zach, how the hell are you doing, buddy? It is great to see you.
Like you said, you know, styling and profiling and the latest merch and the fight has to offer. So I'm perfect, I guess, right now, and comfortable, I guess.
So I'm very excited to announce to the In The Fight community, Zach is starting to train a little bit. He's dabbling right now in MMA. He's getting ready to see whether or not he could put, you know, really make some of this money and take on one of the Paul brothers. But so, Zach, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about your experience so far?
Absolutely. I would say heavy, heavy on the dabbling. yes. So, you know, I'm working on that 1-2. I've joined a beginner's MMA class, and we're stepping into the boxing in week one, a little kickboxing in week two, slide into some BJJ in week three, did a little sparring, got clocked upside the face by a lovely lady.
Nice.
She didn't even say sorry, which I guess was appropriate for the class. Took some thigh kicks, and that was.
Are you wearing shin pads during this?
We were wearing shin pads. I wasn't expecting the sensation to be as difficult hurt as much as it did, especially like the next few days. But I rubbed some CBD on and I was good to go. You know, now I just need to start a YouTube channel and gain a few million followers, and I'll be ready to fight in a year or so, I would say.
This is where all I know is, look, whenever you end up ready to fight Logan or Jake, I just want to be in the corner, okay?
Oh, we could, absolutely.
I'll lead you out. You know, it'll be like, I'll be like Elio Gracie leading out Hoist in UFC one. We'll create the whole train. We'll get Lipinski in there. We'll get some of the Lawrenceville boys. It'll be a whole big scene.
Hopefully Stitch will be there. You know,
you're going to need Stitch. Yeah. So in terms of the striking, what have you found difficult about it that you weren't expecting to be difficult?
You know, just the rhythm and keeping up all the different combinations and taking turns with your partner, you just forget the simplest things because you're worrying about, you know, a lot of different things, and just the way you're supposed to block, you're in your head at the beginning. I would possibly say, instead of just, you know, when you're sparring, you're just reacting almost. But when you're doing the drills, it's almost it's more difficult because you're trying to, you know, focus on being technically sound, and you're not, you know, just living in the moment, you know, acting and reacting. So that was something that's definitely difficult to pick up on. I imagine when you see these guys like Floyd hitting pads at a high level, it's like that is a crazy skill to master, to just get that rhythm and timing. In that regard, it's just amazing. You have so much more of an appreciation for that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. To me, you know, I started training my dear friend who unfortunately passed away. He was an MMA fighter. When he would come over, one of the things that I noticed that was really difficult was when you're, you know, throwing a strike, you're forgetting sometimes because you're tired to bring the hand back really quickly for defensive purposes. So, you know, you're throwing a 1-2 and then it becomes like a lazy 1-2. You're not bringing it. You have to bring it back just as quickly as you're throwing it out there, which is one thing that I definitely didn't realize. One time we sparred. I got knocked out twice during the sparring session.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I got to tell you.
You've actually been knocked out.
Yes. And you know the best way to describe it? It's like pretend you're a computer with Windows 95 and someone says shut down and the programs just start slowly shutting down in your body. I didn't feel pain. It was like, okay, my balance is going. Now my legs aren't working too well. And suddenly I was on the ground like a beach whale. It was quite interesting. The second time I literally ran into a overhand right. It was nasty. It was a 1-2. Wow. That one messed up my jaw a little bit. So, and afterwards he's like, okay, we're done. But anyway, so, you know, the next time you are on, we will get some more developments with that. In terms of, you know, speaking of honing of one's skills, there are current, well, actually, they're probably done filming, but this past summer there were 16 guys filming The Ultimate Fighter who were trying to hone their skills to get into the UFC. You like how I did that transition there? You're getting sharp, man. Iron sharpens iron here. That's how it works.
We're working on it. Yeah.
So this week on The Ultimate Fighter, Team Ortega improved to 4-0. And their last bantamweight pick earned a first-round TKO. So it's Team Ortega's Vince Murdoch defeated Team Volkanovski's Dustin Lampros via first-round TKO. It was a nasty, nasty. So first he took him down with he knocked him down with an overhand right. Then they scrambled. Lampros was able to get up, but then Murdoch hit a nasty knee that got through his guard, and the ref saw enough. But, you know, it's really interesting. You see the backstory of these guys. So Murdoch had actually been signed to fight in the UFC. They did a brain scan. And they noticed he had, like, clogged arteries in his brain. And they're like, "What?" They're like, "You should technically be having a stroke right now. We don't understand what's going on." He had emergency surgery, took off a year, actually got in great shape, took up bicycling and things during the pandemic, looked in great shape. And he trains at a Team Alpha Male, and so he was able to come back. Dustin Lampros trains at a Sanford MMA down in Deerfield Beach, lives down in South Florida. He was dealing with the loss of his mother, who it seems like was on opiates. trying to overcome issues regarding back surgery. It was a really tragic story. So mm-hmm. Lampros actually almost missed weight. The night before, he was still 12 pounds out. And it was cool because Volkanovski came over to sit with him while he was cutting the weight. His first attempt to make weight, he was actually over by a little bit. So apparently he was able to just go to the bathroom and then quickly came back, which is interesting because normally these guys, when they're weighing in, they've already, you know, gone to the facility. So it's usually not an issue of, you know, just like dropping a deuce. But apparently that was the case here. So in terms of some other notes, Michael Chiesa showed up to help out Volkanovski's team. You know, so I was thinking about, he was a great story in his season of The Ultimate Fighter. He actually, during that season, he lost his father. And I remember there was like a public groundswell of support for him. And he beat Ally Quinta, Strong Island's finest, and in the final. So I was going to ask you, what do you think of Michael Chiesa? Do you think, in the next 2 years, is Michael Chiesa going to fight for the welterweight championship?
Well, it's interesting. Wasn't that one guy who Usman and Ali called out recently as they wanted to give him a shot? I could have sworn which is interesting to me, because I don't know if he deserves a shot, if they see that as sort of like a easy matchup, but I think he's looked exceptional and dominating at that weight. I hope he does. I'll say yes. I think so. You said 2 years. Yes, I'll go.
Yeah,
I'll buy that for a dollar. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So I think the reason why Kamaru and Ali called him out was because every other contender ahead of him, either Kamaru's already beaten or has already fought for the welterweight title.
Yeah, but we need some gatekeeper shit. I mean, he can't jump in. He needs to fight one of those guys.
He's fighting Vicente Luque.
Right, yeah.
Which is going to be a really good fight coming up in, 6 weeks. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. He's a really good guy. Then another interesting thing that I just noted during the fight, during the show, they had every week, which I like, they do a tough flashback. And they flash back to the season and the prank war between Michael Bisping and Jason Mayhem Miller. And the reason why I thought it was so funny was because it's amazing how like my own personal fandom evolved over the years. I could not stand Michael Bisping. And during the time of this season, Mayhem Miller was signed as like a way to shut Bisping up. Everyone was like, oh, because Mayhem kind of went on a run. I think it was in Dream, the Japanese organizations. And he was brought in and, it was like, okay, he's going to be the one to knock out Bisping or submit him. We could stop sort of the hype train. Bisping had just won a robbery against Matt Hamill. And, it's funny how as Bisping's career progressed, I just grew to respect him more and more. By the time he became a champion, even though, I obviously really like George St. Pierre as well. I just had such tremendous respect for Bisping as a competitor. And, look, these guys, they get older too, right? I mean, he broke into the UFC Ultimate Fighter 3. He was probably in his, mid-20s. So he's maturing just like everybody else is. It was something really interesting to me, as I was watching that. So before the fight announcement, it looks like Volkanovski's starting to get a little pissed because he's 0-4 against Ortega, and they're starting to yap back and forth, which that'll help get a little more excitement in the show. And then next week, Ortega picked essentially the last two picks of the show, who were both middleweights, are going to face off. It's Team Ortega's Kemron Lachinov versus Volkanovski's Brian Battle. So that is the Ultimate Fighter review for this week. We're coming up this upcoming weekend will be the last episode of the Kings documentary, which has been absolutely fantastic. I highly recommend anyone go watch it. Honestly, if you don't have Showtime, you could get it for free for 1 month. We are not sponsored by Showtime. We probably should be, but that's, one thing after another. But you honestly need to watch this documentary. And so, Zach, one thing I wanted to mention and discuss with you. for a future episode.
Let's do it.
To me, so the four kings, obviously, Hagler, Leonard, Duran, Hearns. The most controversial of those fights was the Leonard, the Hagler-Leonard fight, which was won by Leonard and actually retired Hagler. So what I would like to do with you, Mr. Boxing, and we're going to get into some more boxing stuff later in the show,
yeah.
is I would like for both of us to watch it on YouTube and score the fight and compare notes.
Fun.
And see where you and I end up. We won't. We're not going to discuss it until we record. So whenever it is, next time you're on.
Okay.
So yeah,
and watch it once straight through, just once.
Once straight through, but obviously scoring as if you were a judge. So
right.
No commentary then. So yeah, listen to just watch it on mute.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so on. I'm very interested. I've watched the fight a bunch, but I've never actually scored it. So this is, I just thought this would be a really interesting exercise. And then during that, you know, we'll talk about the documentary. We'll talk about those four incredible fighters who obviously make the documentary. So if you are listening to this live on Sportinarium, first, we thank you. Right now, as we are speaking, the PFL 6 early prelims are going on. But later this evening, in the main event, we have perhaps, interestingly enough, she's probably one of the Zach, would you agree with me, Kayla Harrison? Probably one of the most talked about MMA, female MMA fighters on the planet right now.
Right, right. And I think that's partly due to because you want to see Nunez get challenged by someone, some hopeful coming up to, you know, threaten her crown. But yeah, absolutely. Give her credit where it's due. She's been dominating and she's been the face of that franchise. You know, good for her.
Yeah, I forget if she is a one or two-time gold medalist. Either way, she is.
I think two.
She is the only American, I believe, male or female, to ever win a gold in judo. So that is as badass as you.
Yeah, no, I think Harrison and Shields are both two-time gold medalists, and that would be the two versus two kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's taking on Cindy Dandois from Belgium, who is a training partner of my favorite female MMA fighter, who's coming back July 17th, by the way, who looks amazing on Instagram, Misha Tate. Very excited for that. I know.
We know.
I'm not a perv. Okay. She actually recently got engaged. Mazel tov to her and her fiance, beautiful family. Very just excited to see her fight. So Cindy Dandois has very limited striking. I am interested to see this fight because Dandois does have a decent ground game. I think that Dandois has the best ground game Kayla has faced yet, but I just think that Kayla is too strong. She's just going to dominate her.
Right. She's rattling off submissions of victories.
Yeah.
I mean, is she really that much of a threat on the ground to Kayla? I mean, a better question is, is she the biggest or one of the biggest threats on the ground that she will come across here?
Come across ever? No, but so far in her career, yes. So that's why. So that's why this is still is. It's a good fight for Kayla because it's a progression, right? You need to face different. Like in boxing, you face different kinds of challengers. At some point, you're bringing along the prospect. You got to have him fight the southpaw. Got to have him fight the counterpuncher. So this is sort of, it's going to be interesting, you know, affair. But I think it's fair to say we both expect Kayla to have her hand raised in victory. In terms of other notable main card fighters, it's amazing how the mighty have fallen. Anthony Pettis is taking on Raoš Manfio. And, you know, Anthony Pettis, his first fight in the PFL did not go his way. And it's amazing, you know, you think about it, like, what is it, 2 years ago, this summer, he was in, you know, he was getting ready to fight Nate Diaz, coming off the knockout win over Wonderboy. He beats Nate Diaz, he might be, you know, fighting for a welterweight title. and now he's struggling in the PFL. And he's never getting back to the UFC. It's amazing how these guys, you know, it just, once they get off the cliff, it's down quickly. Well,
I mean, listen, Clay Collard is no joke. You know, you look at that fight and you're like, oh, why is Pettis fighting Collard in his first fight in PFL? So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm sure the PFL has their fingers crossed. He's a big favorite, so you know, right? Expect to win.
Yeah, he should win now, and I agree with you. Clay Collard is no joke, but I mean, if we were to stack up the names of the fighters that, you know, Pettis had fought in the last 5 years, and then Clay Collard would probably be the least skilled of them.
With all due respect to Clay Collard. But in the last year, the way he's picked up his boxing and the way he's defeated prospects that Top Rank has had, been upset that he's defeated.
Yeah.
I think he's greatly improved and brought that over to striking in MMA.
That's a good look. That's a fair point. And you know, either way, it's interesting to see how much does Pettis have left. I think at minimum he's going to get to the playoffs, and I think he's going to see Clay Collard again this quote unquote season. It's strange for me to say playoff season, but that's, you know, the PFL format.
I like it.
I like it. You know, Mike and I talked about this on the weigh-in show. You know, check it out anywhere where you can get podcasts earlier this week. I like the PFL. There's too much going on the screen. There's too many stats because I start watching the stats and not the fight. It's just a lot going on there. But anyways, you know, very interesting fights, and we will cover them next week on the weigh-in. Friday night on Showtime, we have Bellator 261. And we have, look at Bellator's, you know, taking a little bit of from the UFC. They're doing the interim title, which is weird. We haven't seen too many interim titles in the UFC in the last, like, year or so. But Tim Johnson and Valentin Moldavsky are fighting for the interim heavyweight title for Bellator, presumably because Ryan Bader's right now competing in the light heavyweight Grand Prix. So he's sort of tied up for the time being. So it kind of makes sense to put the strap on someone, you know. To me, I mean, Tim Johnson is interesting. I mean, he was kind of a middling guy in the UFC, but he had some decent wins. I mean, he beat Marcin Tybura, almost beat Alexander Volkov, who we're going to talk about in a minute. So, and then I think he got to Bellator and kind of hit his stride. I don't know where I'd put him in the grand scheme of heavyweights when you put him in the UFC. I mean, I would favor the top UFC heavyweights, but he's a tough out for anybody. Then you have Valentin Moldavsky, you know, look, another tough Russian. I mean, that's all the sport seems to be made of these days. So, you know, what are your like initial thoughts of this fight?
Well, I mean, you know, I seem to sort of go on the side of, I guess, what most people are thinking, and that Moldavsky is just going to sort of outlast him.
Yeah.
Which, you know, but as far as, you know, any of these guys really posing a threat, or anyone currently in the heavyweight division posing a threat to Bader, you know, I don't know if we're gonna get someone unless someone moves up from lightweight, really.
Yeah, the only thing is these guys are legit heavyweights. These guys cannot compete in light heavyweight. I mean, Tim Johnson's a big man. You know, I just wonder, would the size be a factor? I'm leaning towards Moldavsky in this, and tomorrow on Instagram at ITF Show, I will actually I'll have my picks for this Bellator card. To me, though, either of these guys are bigger than Bader, so I wonder if the size would be. I mean, look, we're going to see it because the winner's going to take on Bader at some point to unify the title.
So you don't think Bader just walks through?
No, I don't think Bader just walks through. You know, look. I feel like Bader, on his way to winning that heavyweight Grand Prix in the title, he fought a bunch of oversized light heavyweights or guys who were washed. Fedor, one of the greatest, if not the greatest of all time, but when Ryan Bader fought him, he was done. His chin is, you know, is gone.
The jab, jab put him down.
Yeah, I mean, a stiff breeze right now can knock out Fedor, okay?
Yeah.
Honestly, look, you're, you know, three more classes, your jab can knock out Fedor.
Three more classes,
you got it. You can take on Fedor. Yeah. Forget the pause.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would probably advise against that. But nevertheless, his chin is questionable. That's all I'm saying. So to me, I think Bader, it's going to be a tough evening for him. I think he's a better heavyweight now than he is light heavyweight, because I think at light heavyweight, he's compromised because of the weight cut. That's my other thought. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see. In terms of some other notable main card fights, we have Liz Carmouche versus Kano Watanabe. You know, to me, Liz Carmouche, I mean, obviously, every time you mention her, it's the first thing that comes to mind is her debut fight against Ronda Rousey, the main event. I believe it was UFC 157. She was the first ever, her and Ronda, the first ever females to fight for a title in the UFC. And she had Ronda's back. It's funny. She then later fought Valentina Shevchenko in the flyweight division. But actually, she was much closer to beating Ronda in that fight. And she was almost the first person to get Ronda into the second round. So it's crazy to think of like Liz Carmouche as like this old veteran now, but that's really what she is.
Yeah.
And she's still, I think she could, look, the winner of this fight's going to compete, probably take on the champ in flyweight. So it'll be interesting. I'm really interested to see Keanu Diggs versus Daniel White. I think it's Weichel. I don't know. It's Weichel, right?
I think so.
But so Diggs, it looks like he might be another of these really talented Bellator guys that they found, which I think it is good for the sport when Bellator is able to develop their own talent. You know, the AJ McKees, Michael Chandler's, things of that.
Right.
So I'm interested in seeing
hitting the money on that. Yeah.
Yeah. Then lastly, Miles Jury is taking on Sidney Outlaw. And it's interesting. I wanted to point this one out because, you know, Miles Jury is another one. This guy was the UFC kind of pegged him to be the next it guy at one point. And then he just dropped off, even though his record is not terrible. I think he's like 19-7. He just sort of dropped off and then took off for like several years. I remember him fighting Cowboy Cerrone, and that sort of, I think when they put him up against Cerrone, that's when they sort of thought that was going to launch him into the stratosphere. And instead, Cerrone kind of ruined those plans, because that's back before Cerrone was washed. So that was, but nevertheless, he's back. And I, you know, like he's still putting together competitive fights. So I'm glad about that. It's not just a guy who's over the hill just trying to make a buck. So those are some of the main card fights for that. Again, I will have my picks tomorrow at ITF Show on Instagram, Facebook. Check it out. So this weekend, it is UFC Vegas 30. In America, this is actually a really early card. So the prelims start at 1 p.m. Eastern. Main card starts at 4. Right. And is that because of the Lomachenko fight? I don't know what else is going on, unless it's the basketball.
Interesting. Yeah. That's a good call. Maybe.
I don't know. But so anyways, main event, Ciryl Gane, Alexander Volkov. We're going heavyweight again. It's the two of the last three UFC events have been heavyweight matchups for main events. This is the second one. First one was Rozenstruik against Augusto Sakai. But so, you know, who do you think has the advantage on the feet? Because both guys are considered strikers. But who would you say has the advantage on the feet between Gane and Volkov?
Well, I mean, Gane, what, has now 70 fights in the UFC, 70 kickboxing fights. You know, I get really confident when I start seeing guys like him come up able to slow down the fight and start winning those like boring fights, taking people out of their games. You know, I feel like there's something about this dude that is beyond his maybe what we know of him right now. I'm picking him to actually run the table here and beat Francis or John.
Wow.
And just you know, they say born to reign. I'm gonna say bored to reign, and he'll just win boring fights right until he gets crowned the champion.
Interesting.
That's my crazy prediction for the night.
How about the hired guns prediction. We're going to hold you to that. So that's,
yeah,
that's interesting. So obviously that you would think he has the advantage on the feet. I guess, you know, when you think of Volkov though, like, you know, it's interesting because he claims he's a kickboxer. You know, to me, I mean, he's knocked out people when it's been like ground and pound. You know, to me, I kind of view him really more as like a well-rounded MMA fighter versus like a kickboxing specialist. You know, to me, I think that sometimes the UFC, they don't really have like a narrative for him put together yet, right? But mm-hmm. So I guess at least another question, which is, I don't know your answer. I know your answer is that God's more talented, but who do you think is more marketable? What's better for business? A Gon win or a Volkov win?
Well, we'll see how it's done, but yeah. The way I see it being done, probably not Gon, baby Gon. just throwing that out there for you.
I gotcha.
I would probably say, you know, the big 9 foot tall Russian, maybe.
Yeah, you know, so to me, I think, you know, I think Gon is the more talented on the feet. I think, it really comes down to, can Volkov become or demonstrate enough well-rounded MMA skills to get Gon uncomfortable enough to score some offense or to win some rounds? I don't think he's going to be able to. I'm with you right now. Obviously, I hold off on my picks until the day of. You're going to have to wait and see. Check him out on Instagram. Again, ITF show. But right now, I will tell you, I am leading towards Ciryl Gon. You know, in terms of the other main card fights, there's some interesting ones. I feel like the rest of the card, it's a decent card. I feel like when I was going through the fights or each of these fights, it's like I'd look at the two fighters and be like, all right, there's one guy here I'm like really intrigued to see. Whereas the other guy, I'm like, okay, I mean, like, it's cool he's fighting, but. I mean, you have like Tanner Boser against Ovin St. Preux at heavyweight. It's good. To me, it's interesting, how is St. Preux going to look? You know, so he's fought once at heavyweight, lost. Can he put it together? This is a guy who once fought Jon Jones on short notice for the interim championship at light heavyweight. Super talented. I mean, actually has perfected the Von Fluch choke. It's now the Von Preux choke. And he can't put it together. You know, to string together the three wins, you know, knocks out Corey Anderson in Madison Square Garden a few years ago. So just to me, it's really interesting. I mean, do you think this is a guy who he's hit his ceiling? We're never going to see Ovin St. Preux again main eventing. Do you think we're ever going to see him main event any kind of UFC card again?
I didn't like the way he got touched up in the last fight that we saw. So I'm going to say, you know, unfortunately for him, I don't think so.
So Ciryl Gon, arrow up, Ovin St. Preux, arrow down, trending down.
Yes.
So we got Danilo Marquez versus Kennedy and I think it's in Zechikru. Some of these names are a little bit tougher, although thank God, no offense to the captain, Mike would be struggling with these two. But I know I'm just going to say Kennedy for now. I know Kennedy is a guy who I'm very interested to see, you know, very talented. I believe so. He's another one of these Dana White contender series guys. I mean, Dan Ige just fought. Unfortunately, he lost. I still think he's going to be a guy who's going to be a fixture in the division. That Dana White contender series has really churned out a lot of talent. It's very impressive.
Yeah, so, I imagine this is who you're talking about when you introduced this segment. But I'm most excited to see this guy go again.
Yeah, to me, I mean, you know, Andre Feely is more of a established veteran, but he's a guy who's trained. He's Hawaiian. Always fun to watch. Train with the Diazes. Look, you're Hawaiian. You train with the Diazes. You're a cool guy, and you're a tough bastard. So therefore, you're like your resume is good. Nicholas Dalby from Denmark. Very, I think one of the more underrated European MMA fighters, I'm sure right now, are UK and European fans.
tough mother.
Yeah, real tough dude. And Tim Means is a tough guy too, so that's a really good scrap. And then the opening fight, I mean, you go back 2-3 years, I know it was different weight class. Hanato Moicano was like one fight away from title contender, you know, ship. So, and then I know he lost his debut at lightweight. It's interesting. Could he, I think, with all due respect to Jai Herbert, I think this is kind of set up for Hanato to get on a run a little bit. That, frankly, I mean, that's the way I kind of see the lay of the land with that fight. Should be really interesting, though. In terms of, I will say, the guy who, so aside from Kennedy, the guy who I think has the biggest upside of anyone on this card is Shavkat Rakhmonov, who is from Kazakhstan. He fought, I forget which one of the Fight Island events it was. It may have been one of the pay-per-views. I forget. I apologize for that. But I got to tell you, this guy has it to me. I think he is super talented. He exhibited like Zabit level skills. So I'm very interested to see this guy fight. And then, of course, Yancy Medeiros is fighting another tough Hawaiian. As you guys can tell, I'm very pro Hawaiian. You know, they're just like I'm an old school Rumble on the Rock fan. I know Zach, that's a little bit before your MMA time, but there was one of the most badass MMA promotions of all time it came from Hawaii. And if you buy the DVD for Rumble on the Rock, there is one of the main events was BJ Penn against Hadhigo Gracie. So BJ goes up to 185 to fight Hadhigo Gracie. And at some point there's a brawl in the audience. And for reasons beyond my comprehension, the camera guy starts filming the brawl. So you literally, on the DVD that you purchase, you miss about 2.5 rounds of a 5-round fight. And Mark Coleman is out there sort of like directing traffic. It's awesome. God bless Rumble on the Rock. So, look, it's going to be, I think there's going to be some interesting fights. We're looking forward to it. But Saturday night really belongs to boxing. And that's why I'm glad you're here, to sort of walk us through it, talk us through it. I guess we'll start with the pay-per-view event, which is Gervonta Davis against Mariel Barrios. So I guess, I know we definitely talked about Davis's last fight because I remember talking about the uppercut from hell. But, for those that aren't, when we brought you on to talk about Lomachenko the first time, then it was the Lomachenko-Lopez fight. Give us a little bit of the background on Gervonta. So which divisions has he been a champion in?
Okay, well, I mean, he's 130, 135, now he's 140. I mean, he's all over the place. He can't make weight. It's really hard to keep track. He's awarded a belt in this weight class, even though he's fighting at a different weight class that night against a guy who's has a belt in that weight class when he has the belt in the other, and they're fighting for both those belts. Even it's a complete mess as boxing boxing is. So it's hard for anyone to keep straight. I can't keep it straight. But nevertheless, he is a talented fighter. He's exciting to watch.
Yeah.
I know we were talking about who would be his next opponent after his last fight. Yeah. And I don't even know if this guy was on the radar. I don't think
you mentioned him.
Him even, going up and doing this. But so that's where we are.
So he's going up two weight classes, though, this time, right? That's the way they're booking this, or that they're sort of published or publicizing this. Excuse me.
Yeah. He was at 130, then 135.
Yeah.
Who knows? We always want to see the Loma fight, so maybe he'll be fighting in a different weight class next time. But I guess it's really wherever the pay per view. Fight that Floyd thinks is going to generate the most hype and revenue. But no, I'm definitely excited for this fight. It's great to see them standing next to each other for the face off, just to see the size difference. So that's exciting to see him, you know, go up against a giant. A lot of people would say that, you know, Davis is just going to eventually figure this guy out, who's going to be easy to figure out. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to try to, you know, stay away from him with the jab he's been against Barris has been against big punchers before and knocked and laid them on their ass. I think his biggest win was against a huge puncher, Akhmedov, and I believe that was his biggest win.
And he's on the undercard, right? Akhmedov.
Oh, is he?
I think he is. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well. Yeah, cool. Then look out for him too, because he's no joke either. How would you describe
Gervonta's fighting style?
He's really I see him as someone who's really, you know, looking for that shot, loading up. Like when in his last fight, he missed about, you know, several dozen of those uppercuts before he landed it. He is always looking for that viral knockout. I guess good for him, because he eventually connected. I'd like to see him getting into trouble. The trouble we've seen him in is just really getting tired. So we'll see if Barrios can stay away from his power. He's done it before. I don't think he'll be able to do it this time. Davis is skilled. If he comes in on weight, looking good, and he's got his head in the game, it's going to be a difficult night for anyone fighting Tank, you know.
So you're talking about he didn't, at least in the ring, he hasn't gotten into too much trouble. But outside of the ring, it's sort of been a different story with this guy, right? I mean, he's had some difficulties and brushes with the law. Is that correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think he's had some domestic abuse stuff and he hit someone with his car, and then he could have been facing 5 years. I mean, It's been a complete mess, and I don't frankly know how he's skated through it. Maybe he's had some of Floyd's lawyers able to, you know, pull some magic out of their hats. But he's here, he's fighting. So I honestly did not, when we saw that come across the wire, I did not expect. I expected the worst, actually, and I didn't think we might be seeing him on Saturday night.
So what's your prediction for the fight?
I'll probably say Tank will get him in 8-9.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Okay. In terms of how this pay-per-view performs.
Oh, yeah.
Is this I'm going to give you an over-under at 300,000 pay-per-view buys.
You know, it's just there's other good stuff on that night. I'm gonna go under.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go under just because I'm gonna be watching Loma.
Yeah,
when does Loma come on? Actually, are they running?
I thought Loma was later at night. I actually
Loma, yeah. So Loma is later, right? So yeah. So Loma might come on after that main event, but it might be too much for certain. I bet it is too much for certain people. It just is too much going on. So I don't know. I don't think it performed as well as Floyd may think it performs.
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, Gervonta Davis obviously. As a little bit more of a lay boxing fan than you, obviously, you know, I've always seen him as a talented guy, but not. And, you know, this is an intriguing fight, but to me, this isn't yet must see to the point where I think it's going to perform in the. To me, he's not yet a complete star. You know, to me, a star in boxing is someone who can always deliver plus over 500,000 buys, right? And I don't think he's there yet. And I also think a part of it is his own behavior, that it's kind of, you know, he he's a lot like his promoter, Floyd. Floyd's done some bad things in his life, but Floyd also beat everybody, right? You mm-hmm. know, so mm-hmm. he has, and he's not, while he has an unblemished record, he's not yet at that level. So I think he's still a few fights away, probably one or two more dance partners away from having that gigantic fight money-wise. But this is an intriguing fight, though. You know, I think that it definitely could I think the whole storyline of jumping up in weight might get a few casuals. I think the problem also is a few weeks ago we just had Floyd against Logan Paul. So I think some people kind of use some of their pay-per-view money on that. You know, mm-hmm. so,
yeah, you know, weird time. I'm just thinking what maybe they have their eye on 140 because they could try to get that undisputed those straps away and do a big fight in the UK and stick around. You know, against Taylor, Who knows what their plans are? Maybe there's something that we're not seeing.
Yeah, that should be interesting though. And so as we also mentioned, Saturday is also Lomachenko against Masayoshi Nakatani. So this is Loma's first fight in a while, which is actually a non-title fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. It's crazy that we're not getting. The rematch, especially Loma and Tio are both top ranked people. I know Tio's had the problems with top rank in the past, but you know Nakatani is one of the more underrated fighters in boxing. This guy is no joke.
Yeah,
I mean he gave Teofimo, you know, I thought Teofimo won the fight fair and square. I think I had it like maybe 8-4. He's no joke. He could, as you've seen, he could take a punch, get back up and put people down as he did with Verdeo, which is the one of the fights of the year. So I expect him to give Lomachenko. I expect him to give anyone trouble. I mean, he's there to fight anyway. You know, I think Loma's gonna, you know, Pull it out and hopefully after another shoulder surgery, hopefully be back to his self dancing around him as best he can and putting on a show as he usually does. So we do get that rematch with Lopez. If he does stick around at 135, he's, you know, maybe he's going after Taylor too. Taylor's going after Crawford. Everyone's going after someone else, but I would like to see the Loma get through Nakatani and then have that rematch with Teofimo, because I did like Andre Ward. I did score that a draw, although I do think a 7-5 and an 8-4 scorecard for Tio is very fair too. I think those swing rounds, I believe it was 2-7, could have gone either way. I'm hoping to see that again. I hope we get that. But I'm super excited to see. Well, I always love Loma fight nights. Loma is one of my favorites to watch.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to see him on Saturday night.
Well, don't you think the fact that he essentially chose Nakatani, right? So don't you think
well, he wanted Teofimo? No,
he wanted Teofimo. Obviously, in the grand scheme of things, that's what he would have preferred. But so to me, the reason I think he's going to stick around to go after Teofimo is because he's fighting Nakatani, because the two of them essentially almost have the same exact record. Their lone loss is to Lopez, and so I think he's even been interviewed saying he wants to see how he matches up against another guy whose lone loss is to Teofimo. So to me, I guess reading the tea leaves, just sort of interpreting those. To me, I feel like he wants to avenge that loss of after this fight, if when he gets through it before going up to 140. That's sort of the way I interpret his actions by taking this fight.
Absolutely. But and unfortunately, I have to bring this up because it always brings a bad taste in my mouth. But Loma's lost his second pro fight to Salido, which
was that's right. Yeah.
One of the most frustrating fights you will ever see with Who is that referee in Texas who's a complete, I'll say, joke, because he is a joke, and that commission is out of control. I think Lawrence Cole. It sounds wrong. He literally stopped Loma from finishing the dude. I think it was either the second to last round or the last round. And you just listen to Kellerman and the other people in the broadcast who are completely bewildered on what is going on. And he also got hit with 50 million low blows in that fight and never was warned. It was completely ridiculous. I don't know what the hell. Every time I think about that, it just.
No, you're right. You know, it's funny you mention that and how earlier we actually were talking about Fedor. I kind of liken Lomachenko's first loss, that the controversial one, to Fedor's loss. He had a loss early in his career to Tsuyoshi Kasaka, who I always remembered him because he was actually on the first ever UFC game for like PlayStation. It was in the Rings organization, and it was due to a cut that Fedor sustained. It was the only – he destroyed Kasaka. And then pride to their credit, though, in the Bushido series, they actually rebooked the fight so that essentially Fedor – it was Kasaka's retirement fight, and then they did it so that Fedor could get his revenge. But to me, I always view them as one and the same. Mm-hmm. So going back, though, to the Lomachenko fight, has he ever fought someone as tall as Nakatani?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that's what gave Lopez fits. This guy's long, tall, can take a punch. I'd have to go check. I don't think so.
So this doesn't – the matchup itself doesn't really do anything for Lomachenko in terms of helping him ready himself for a rematch with Tio. It's more just – we both lost to this guy. Let me get back on. Let me get the win.
Let me do it better. Let me do it better than you did. People thought Lopez wasn't ready for the title shot that he got and Loma after seeing him against Nakatani. Loma's statement is, I could do what's the phrase?
Anything you can do, I can do better.
There you go. That's it. That's the one.
Teamwork makes a dream work, buddy.
Absolutely.
So either way, I'm very excited. Look, Saturday night is a great night of Saturday is a great day of fights. Saturday night is a great night of boxing. We still have a few minutes left, so I wanted to – there were some, developments the last few weeks, and we got things coming up. So while I had you on the show, I wanted to sort of pick your brain about. So the first was, what was your take on the five-minute staring contest between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder? Do you think that helps sell tickets or sell pay-per-view buys?
Absolutely, because that was on everyone's feed. Well, I mean, it was on everyone's feed. It wasn't just people posting a stare down. It was watch the longest, ridiculously stare down in the history of anything. I mean, it was absurd.
Yeah, but okay. So I agree with you. Views are views, right? But at some point, doesn't like ridiculousness kind of take over, and you're like, all right, this is just so weird. Why the hell would I want to see this?
I think we thought that, and then how many pay-per-views did Logan Paul and Floyd Mayweather?
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah, we are living in a different world.
Gimmick sell, ridiculous sells. Tyson Fury coming without a shirt. Deontay Wilder not responding to any question, although it's asinine. It all is people are talking about people doing things that are make no sense, and that's what we do.
Any way Wilder wins this fight?
I'm picking Wilder to win the fight.
To win the fight?
I'm picking
we haven't talked
Wilder
about this.
To win this fight. I thought he won the first round of the Fury fight, the second Fury fight. I thought that was the best round of boxing he ever boxed. If you watch in the ring at the end of the fight, I think I mentioned this before, you can hear Fury say, yo, that first round, man. Yeah, that first round, he looked great. And in that second round, you could see he was exhausted somehow. I don't know what his condition. I mean, you want to blame the costume?
Don't you dare talk about that costume. Not.
But hey, it was something.
Yeah, maybe it was that Tyson Fury was plus 20 pounds and he was leaning on him. Well, he changed his style.
He used his jab better in that first round than I've ever seen him, and that's what we were looking for. If his cardio is there, Tyson Fury is not taking it seriously. Wilder always has that bomb. He got clipped with a 1 in a million shot behind that ear that burst his eardrum. It knocked his equilibrium off more than he's ever been. It was a perfect place shot that really took him out of his game. Every other knockdown after that was because of that shot. I'm really predict, you know, boxing doesn't make any sense. Fighting doesn't make any sense. Predict the unexpected. That's what I want to do. Everyone's going to have Fury win by decision the same way.
I'm very surprised because you and I have not spoken about this off air, so that's why I wanted to quickly rack your brain about it. So real quickly before we go, what are your thoughts A on Anderson Silva's performance, and B, would you feel more comfortable with Anderson Silva fighting Jake Paul representing the MMA world as opposed to Tyron Woodley in August?
Yeah, I mean, I think like everyone, people are a little worried about Woodley's fire. And Anderson, man, looking great, and he's wanted to do this for years. I'm excited to actually see him fight again. I don't think Jake will take the fight. I think Logan might take that fight if it was put to him. But I don't think those guys are going to fight him next. I think actually the Roy Jones, why not? He's wanted to fight Roy Jones, let him fight Roy Jones. Let's see that. Why not?
If Jake Paul got past Tyron, I'm already nervous about this. We're 2 months away.
Yeah.
If he gets past him, I think that would make sense. Because at some point you run out of MMA guys. Anderson Silva's like the even though he's older. I guess the only other guy left would be like Israel Adesanya.
Yeah, I don't know if Jake wants to get in a trash talk back and forth with Anderson. I think there might be some respect there. I think he'll try to go after Nate again, if that's possible. He'll go after Connor again. He'll go after Floyd, if that's possible. Anderson's not in the top three, but you know, it's definitely on the list. Yeah. So it's a maybe. Yeah.
Up is down, down is up, and apparently Wilder's winning. And well, you've heard it here. The hired gun will be back before the Wild. That's August. It's in August, right?
No, I know the date. It's July 24th.
It's July 24th.
I'll be on a bachelor party in Austin, so I'll have to find a bar in Austin that is playing this fight and force 20 guys to go to a bar.
You got to plant the seeds early. You have to plant the seeds early, and then
I know.
But yeah, know. Either way, the hired gun will be back on before then. We will do our judging of Hagler Leonard, and as always, this has been an amazing time. Zach, I can't thank you enough. It's always a pleasure. Fans, again, TKO store, TEKOstore.com. Check out the merch. ITF show on all social media. We thank you. Everyone, stay safe. We will see you next week. Be well.